When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzee Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Today, we got a Game 5 preview of Sixers-Celtics with our friend Paul Hudrick of Liberty Ballers. I kind of feel bad. Last time we talked to Paul, I told him I was bored. I was just bored with the Nets series. I was just waiting to get done with the Nets series. And really, this entire season, I just looked at as entertainment up until the second round of the playoffs, where the Sixers were really prove their worth going forward. So we'll talk to Paul Hudrick about all things 76ers and whether tonight will be the Joel Embiid game.
That's right.
The Joel Embiid game. We've been waiting for a Joel Embiid game. We've had two James Harden games. We haven't really had a Joel Embiid game yet. We've had a Joel Embiid game where he was the best Sixer on the floor, but far from the best player on the floor. And this is accounting for the injury and acknowledging the injury. But is Joel Embiid getting stronger as this series goes on? We're getting further and further away, or farther and farther away, never know which one, from game two of this series, where Joel Embiid said after the game he had to play that game. He had to knock the rust off. No matter when he came back, he was going to have that kind of game. And then we had a Joel Embiid hit a wall in game four. But this, of course, is during a 34-point, 13-rebound performance. But he hit a wall in that game, in game four. And that's when you saw our man PJ Tucker go up to Joel Embiid and say what he had to say. We need the better version of you. We need you to dig down deep, whatever you got, keep it coming, keep being aggressive. And that apparently re-energized Joel Embiid to give a little bit more than he had been over the last recent minutes of that game. So maybe this is it. Maybe tonight is it. Sixers could certainly use it. I'm still hoping and praying and very much looking forward to another huge game from James Harden, at least. But maybe this is the game tonight that Joel Embiid takes over. We'll get into that in a minute. We'll also get into Jalen Carter. Now, last night being something that we like to call the old business there, a dark night where now the home teams play. I wanted to make sure we focused today a little bit on Nick Sirianni and Eagles rookie camp, because that happened last week. Nick Sirianni addressed the media for the first time since the draft. He addressed the media at Eagles rookie camp, where Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, and all these guys were out there running around on the practice field, kind of getting acquainted with the way of doing things at not just the NFL level, but with the Philadelphia Eagles. You might as well call this orientation, from the way Nick Sirianni talked about it, about these guys meeting, getting to know each other a little bit, seeing how the Eagles like to do things, and familiarizing themselves with the rules of the NFL and of the NovaCare complex. One of the biggest concerns coming out of this rookie class is Jalen Carter and Jalen Carter's weight, Jalen Carter being in shape. I didn't think it was going to be as much of a story or as talked about it as it was with Jordan Davis. I'll always go back to my friend Gary Cobb the night that Jordan Davis was drafted, and he was talking about how you got to keep him away from Subway. I don't know why it was Subway in particular, but it was Subway. Got to keep him away from Subway, and I don't want to see him down at Pat's and Geno's. You got to keep him. You got to mix in those salads, young man. You got to make sure you stay in shape, and that's a concern because he wasn't. Even at Georgia, he wasn't on the field for every single down. That was a little concerning. Now we have another concern. And I do expect, for the record, Jordan Davis to be able to take steps forward, big steps forward in his sophomore season in the NFL. Jordan Davis is somebody that can absolutely, I think, turn that corner. Looking at a guy, for instance, like Jalen Carter, though, wasn't in shape for his pro day, admitted to not being in the best shape for his pro day, and now he comes into camp, and I'm listening last Friday when Nick Sirianni addressed the media. I'm listening to him talk about Jalen Carter and his weight, and it's not exactly the most, they even brought it up during the press conference, a ringing endorsement of Jalen Carter being ready to play. So we'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the Phillies starting their two-game series with the Toronto Blue Jays in South Philly tonight, and we got just so much to get into when it comes to the Flyers not at all winning the NHL entry draft lottery last night. Spoiler, in case you didn't see it. They got the 7th overall pick, so they stayed 7th. No luck on the side of the Flyers as of yet. No luck on the side of the Flyers. Let's start it off by talking about this basketball team, because I am waiting with great anticipation, because although, and I'm going to be cards on the table with you guys, I don't think the Sixers win this series. I really, here's where I want to be. Right, here's where I want to be right now. This isn't where I want to be after the game. I want to be even further down the road with this. If I am looking for the paintbrush of optimism here to paint this picture, to make us all smile and think of puppy dogs and ice cream, here's what I want to believe. And I give credit to my man Mike Jarek, who, when we did the basketball segment with my buddy Eitan Shander over there at Fox 29, we got off the air, and he looked at me and Eitan, and he said yesterday, "So you think they'll do it?" And I said, "What, win game five?" And he's like, no, win the series. And I was like, "No, I don't think they'll win the series. I wish I could think that and be optimistic and convince myself that that's going to happen." And Eitan's like, no, they're not going to win the series. Okay. And Mike goes, "I think they do it." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "I think they do it." Like, he was so giddy. He was so excited. He was like, "I think they do it. I think they got it." And I was like, "Well, okay, well, why? Well, you know, I'm trying to crack the code for me. Why?" And he's just like, "I don't know. I just think they do it." And I'm like, I looked at him and I went, I want that. I want that belief that I have no reason for it. I have no reason to believe they're going to. Why? Every game seven, every second round playoff series, every playoff series, even going into the bubble against the Celtics, they get beat up there in the bubble in the first round of the playoffs without Ben Simmons. Remember that? Shake Milton was your point. Or no, that without Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons had to be moved away from the point guard spot. It was a whole bunch of craziness going on in the bubble. But the Celtics have been the Achilles heel. And I always reference to you guys the last time the Sixers and Celtics played a game seven in the Eastern Conference semifinals. It was a year before the process started, and the Sixers haven't been past that point since. What a beautiful thing it would be, though, to make it past that second round of the playoffs, as we all know. And on the way home from Fox 29 yesterday, I got thinking, you know, what would it take for me to get to that level that Mike Jarek is at? Oh, I feel like they're going to win. Why? I don't know. I just feel like they're going to do it. And he was so convinced of his gut feeling. And I'm like, all right, maybe I know too much. Maybe my past experiences and being so close to it and living and dying with every shot, every dribble, every turn up and down the court, maybe that's what's getting to me. And then I started to think, well, why not? You know, to hell with that. The Sixers, I feel, are not the better team in this series. I feel that and this is the way I answered it on the air when we were talking about it. I feel like the Celtics are a team that could play a good game and win in this series, where the Sixers have to play a great game and win to win this series. And I feel like that kind of describes the level of performance from the version of basketball you can get from the style of play from the Celtics versus the level and style of play you could get from the Sixers. The Sixers could play good and still win, where the Sixers have to play great and still win. They got to get near perfect games from just about everybody that contributes. And that's why when we talked about game four yesterday and we played the cuts for you from Doc Rivers, he talked about, you know what, Joel was Joel tonight, James Harden was James Harden tonight, Tyrese Maxey was Tyrese Maxey, and then he gave so much credit to PJ Tucker for playing as well as he played in game five or game four of that series. that's what you need again and again, and it's very hard. And I didn't think Maxey particularly played a great game either, but it's hard to get all those role players, and I'm not talking about James Harden and Joel Embiid as role players, but all those stars, I'll say, and then the role players after that to play their game perfectly. That's like pitching a perfect game. It's tough to get everybody playing exactly how they should play every single night. So then, as I started to continue to unpack these thoughts, I was thinking about Joel Embiid. And maybe, just maybe, he has the opportunity here tonight. Maybe health-wise, conditioning-wise, rust-wise, maybe tonight is the night it all clicks. Because it was pretty close to clicking in that game against the Celtics on Sunday. It was pretty close. Talk about maybe 10 minutes there where he had to dig down deep and he really had to get that good version of basketball back. And if he does that, if he doesn't have that 10-minute lull, if he doesn't have that wall that he hit, maybe we're talking about him having a 40, 42, 45-point night. And we're not talking about James Harden having a 42-point night. Maybe we're talking about James Harden. What a great game James Harden had with 30 points. Oh, man, James Harden was great. But Joel Embiid came up with a 45-point performance and 15 boards. Maybe we're talking about that. Maybe we're not talking about him getting blocked four or five times by Al Horford. Maybe we're not talking about Al Horford all of a sudden looking like he'd rediscovered his man strength, his dad's strength against Joel Embiid. Maybe we're not talking about that. Maybe this is the game Joel Embiid doesn't hit that wall. Maybe this is the game he figures it out. And then I did it. I went ahead and I talked myself into optimism. And I was like, well, hold on. Maybe if they get this good performance from James Harden, they can still survive and move on to game six in South Philly with a chance to move on to the Eastern Conference Final. Maybe they get a good performance from James Harden and they get that great performance from Joel Embiid again. And he's the guy that carries this squad. We're still waiting for that game. I'm hoping that even though Joel Embiid said he was supposed to be out 4 to 6 weeks with this injury, yeah, this puts him at about the 3-week mark. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to really take that step forward and be able to do that health-wise, be allowed the opportunity health-wise to take that step forward and show some more dominance. Because game four, he was not far off. Game four, he was not far off at all. And as you guys know, and I've said it pretty much every show of this series, I'm waiting for that moment. It makes me really believe that Sixers are going to move past. If the Sixers actually do move past the second round of the playoffs, I won't believe it until probably 24 hours after. But maybe this is the opportunity that Joel Embiid needs to almost crack the code of this series and survive and advance. And I don't think they're going to do that unless you get this kind of game from Joel Embiid. Another hit I did yesterday that turn some more wheels was I was on with my friend Chris DeGaulle on 990 The Answer. And Chris does a political talk show, if you don't know Chris. And I got to know Chris from my years at CBS Radio. And I was talking to him, and he said, you know, you weren't really optimistic. You sound more optimistic about the series. I was like, well, they evened it up at two. Like, I'm not confident they win the series, but if you're looking for percentages of little bits of confidence, I've accumulated the most since probably game one after that win. And he goes, you know, a lot of people are saying that they're winning because of the stars. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what happens in the NBA. But the bigger thing here is that you have guys like PJ Tucker stepping up at the right moment, doing exactly what PJ Tucker's supposed to do. You have guys like Tobias Harris, who's going to hit a three for you. You have a guy like George Niang coming off the bench, hit a couple threes for you. Like, you're going to have your stars play. When your stars play at that level, in which they did in game five. Jesus, keep doing it. I'm looking ahead. If the stars play like they did in game four, and then the role players do what they're supposed to do, that's called a perfect game. That's really going to end up being a big difference in the game. Bench points, stuff like that, lack of turnovers, protecting the basketball, all that is going to help the Sixers win. They got to play a damn near perfect game. And maybe they could get away with some blemishes, but if they're going to do that, that's when their stars have to step up, as James Harden did in game one, James Harden did in game four, Joel Embiid certainly did in game four as well. Maybe that's the thing that they got to get past as well. So we'll continue to unpack that with Paul Hudrick. Tip off tonight, 7:30 in Boston, game five. Sixers Celtics Eastern Conference semifinals. So I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Jalen Carter, not in great shape. It's unfortunate. It's not good, but I was hoping that this was going to be a thing that we kind of moved past quickly. So I'm watching our coach here, Nick Sirianni, address the media on Friday, and I'm waiting for the question about Jalen Carter and whether or not he's in shape, whether or not he's in shape, whatever. And yeah, it came, it was there, and Nick Sirianni didn't, I believe the term is ringing endorsement, didn't really give us a ringing endorsement about Jalen Carter. Dave Zingaro, so he's overall, he's asked about, you know, like impressions of rookie camp and how to, what he's seeing so far and all that stuff. And Nick Sirianni talks about players conditioning, talks about players being in shape, and Dave Zingaro kind of narrows it down and says, okay, what about specifically Jalen Carter? Because Jalen Carter even admitted when he did his rookie camp press conference that he wasn't in the best of shape for his pro day. Here's how Nick Sirianni answered that question.
You know, I told them straight up, you know.
Right out of the gate, I don't like that. I do. Was that player in shape? Yes, that's what should happen. Okay, is that player in shape? Yeah. Hey, you know what? A lot of these guys are getting used to the NFL level, and that's what he's doing right now. Okay. So here it is again. I didn't like the start of that answer.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, "What's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?"
Lucky in line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jalen Carter, specifically conditioning. How's he doing, coach?
You know, I told them straight up, you know, things that I will, you know, we obviously went over our rules, right? Our team rules. And one of those team rules is be on time. Another one of those team rules is be the weight you're supposed to be. And those are non-negotiable for me. They know that. And we'll just keep that standard as we go. But yeah, I sense that he wants to be a good, you know, the best pro he can be. And, you know, not every place, again, I don't know exactly. You know, I have no idea what each program says the person's supposed to weigh, right? Or sometimes programs, even within the NFL, don't track that. Or they track it, but they don't say, you got to weigh this amount. We do. So that's just new to here. We'll get him to what he's supposed to play at. And I have no doubt in my mind that he'll do whatever he needs to do to be the player he needs to be.
You know, some people might say, oh, it's press conference, what is he going to say? I'll tell you this much. He's going to say something better than that. That wasn't good. So Tim McManus of ESPN, I guess, sensed what I'm sure I'm not the only person sensing it. Me and Tim, everyone else probably. What was that again, coach? So Tim McManus phrased his follow-up question as such.
A couple more. Your response about Jalen Carter's conditioning doesn't exactly ring as reassuring, given that he was, you know, coming off of a pro day where he wasn't able to finish.
We didn't do, like, gases out there or anything like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I could tell you that I know exactly how somebody's conditioning is. After that, I know they're none of them are in great, good enough shape to go out there and have a full practice. That's why practice was cut down today. That's why we took time in between. That's what, you know, in between a rep. If we would have had a 40, now he didn't do 7-on-7 today, but we did. But I made those guys take a minute in between 7-on-7 reps. If we would have had a 40-second clock out there, we would have had a penalty every single time. Because I know none of them are ready to practice the way we did the, you know, the exact intensity that we're used to practicing in.
They're all just fat and out of shape. What do we just, Jalen Carter's out of concern. Everyone's running around there with a pastrami or something. I don't know. Like, everyone's got a brisket. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? I'm sure that this is going to take a minute for some guys to, I've never heard of it. I've never heard it put like that with Nick Sirianni. If I had a 40-second clock out there for 7-on-7s, everyone would be getting penalties. Okay, is that normal? What is the follow-up question? Is that normal? Because that doesn't sound like it should be normal with professional athletes. The orientation part I get. not knowing where the bathroom might be at the NovaCare complex, not knowing who to talk to about laundry, the chef's specials, whatever. That stuff might take a second. Where's the coach's office? Film room in what room? Okay. Like that, I get kind of being lost. But playing football, practicing football, that shouldn't be the thing that's like, oh, wait, well, you have to be ready for this? That's not good. That's not good at all. And these guys are coming off, these guys are coming off college? That seems odd. And they're getting ready for, you know, the combine and hopefully their pro day. Unfortunately, not in Jalen Carter's case, but I was hoping that would be at least a kick in the ass. Oh, he shows up. It's great. And I understand at rookie camp, you're not, like Coach said, you're not running gassers. You're not going out there and you're sprinting around at full speed and playing live practices or anything crazy like that, right? You're not doing, I get it. But the one person in particular I was hoping to get a ringing endorsement for that, oh, yeah, well, the pro day was a pro day, and now he is a pro. So he came in here, and man, this guy's looking to tear some heads off. Like, I was looking for something like that, and didn't I get that? I did not get that. So the concern level remains the same, if not worse. When I hear the coach being asked specifically about a player and how in shape he is, and he's like, well, I took the hand up in shape, in conditioning? We didn't run fast out there and everyone's fat. What? That's how it sounded to me. So I just had a conversation with somebody about this, about what the Eagles defensive line is going to look like. And I was talking about Jordan Davis. And I said, you know, I was more concerned with Jordan Davis being in shape than I was, or I am, with Jalen Carter and his conditioning. I'll put it to you like that. And now I'm pretty even. I am pretty even when it comes to Jalen Carter and how in shape and ready he is going to be, even when training camp starts. Because the one thing, and this does happen, and you always hope it doesn't happen to your guys, but you get excited for the draft. You see the Eagles get a guy that a lot of people consider possibly the best player in this draft. And you get a guy that you expect to be an impact player. You get a guy that you, I expect to fill a big part of the void. I think physically he'll fill the void, whether or not he's actually up to the big bar that a guy like Javon Hargrave did set at the defensive tackle position next to Fletcher Cox. Even though I think he's right, even though I'm excited for that and I think he has that capability, if all that gets delayed, then a bunch of things come into question. People will start talking about the guy's work ethic, whether or not he loves football or just what football brings him. And that is a curse and a moniker that I just don't want to be on a young man. It's rookie camp, man. It's practice to practice. We're talking about practice to practice, man. We're not even talking about practice. We're talking about the practice to the practice before the big practice starts in training camp. That's what we're talking about, man. Guy hasn't even stepped on an NFL field in a competitive nature yet, and we're sitting here to talk about the practice to the practice. Leave it here in Philadelphia to have some concern. And I have some concern, legit concern. Hopefully it's dispelled by the time they really put on some pads. Because training camp, huffing and puffing, conditioning tests, all that jazz, oh, that's no good. I don't want to see it. Hey, Coach, is he in shape? It's in shape. Professional athletes don't get in shape. None of us are in shape. We're not even in shape yet. That's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For Steven Singer, Mother's Day, just around the corner, check out Steven Singer at IHateStevenSinger.com, where you get the perfect price each and every day. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Oh, by the way, before I get to Paul Hudrick, I want to make sure I mention this as well. There was a follow-up from Tim McManus, and the follow-up was none. Follow-up question was, so overall, Coach said he was generalizing, talking about everybody. Tim McManus narrowed it down, the bulldog reporter that he is, and he said, well, Coach, instead of generalizing with everyone else, specifically about Jalen Carter, how concerned are you with Jalen Carter and his conditioning?
None.
That's what he did. He did the, not intimidatingly, but he did the glare. He gave a glare. None.
Okay. All right.
I'll take your word for it right now, Mr. Sirianni. I'll take your word for it. Without further ado, let's take our friend Paul Hudrick's word for it when it comes to all things Philadelphia 76ers and getting ready for Game 5. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Paul Hudrick from Liberty Ballers.
On Hudrick, Mark was bored. Now the Sixers are tied at 2 games all in a best-of-7 playoff series to decide who goes to the Eastern Conference Finals. Farzi's no longer bored on Hudrick.
What's up, Paulie?
I'm so glad you're not bored anymore. It's like I almost want to do the gladiator thing. Are you not entertained? Like that's because this has been a pretty entertaining series through 4 games.
It's like it makes you bipolar. And game one, you're like, I didn't see that coming. That was amazing. Game two, Embiid's back. This is great. What version of that version of Joel Embiid? And then what version of James Harden are we going to get there in game three? Not good. And then game four, this is incredible. They've cracked the code, right, Paul? All is right with the world. They realize like James Harden's got to be the number one scorer, and then Joel Embiid's got to do whatever he can do in a game, still get you 34 points, which is only a season best average. It's wild. I don't know how to wrap. I can't even talk straight when I talk about the emotions of this series, Paul. How are you handling it being so close to the heartbeat of the 76ers?
Well, it's pretty wild that over the course of 4 games, James Harden has been compared to Allen Iverson and Ben Simmons over the course of 4 games. That kind of says it all, right? Like, it's funny. I was, we're all waiting for Doc Rivers to come out, post game, and it was insane post game, like maybe the most circus like atmosphere I've ever experienced after a Sixers game. And I'm standing next to Gordy Jones, who if you don't know Gordy, he writes for Liberty Ballers now, does some feature stuff. Gordy's been around for a minute, right? Like Gordy covered the like 1982-83 team. Like Gordy's seen some stuff, and I asked him, have you ever seen a more volatile playoff series from a player? And he was stumped. He could not think of a single instance of a player having this kind of fluctuation in their play. And
wow,
it's insane. I mean, there are basketball reasons behind it for sure. Like there are playoff series are so weird in that each game can kind of take on its own identity, beyond the series and all that. But I have never seen anything like this where a guy can look unstoppable for 2 games and then look just, he would probably tell you himself like terrible for 2 games. It's wild. It's definitely an emotional roller coaster. And I have a feeling the Boston Celtics fans are also feeling a bit of that with a guy named Jason Tatum, because his play has been pretty up and down through 4 games. So yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy series. What version of James Harden they get feels like it might determine whether or not they actually win the series.
It's a weird thing, Paul, because he said after game 4, the effort's always there. The mentality is always the same. The excitement, the drive, the motivation. He claims to not hear the outside noise. I don't believe that when any athlete says it. But what do you think it is with James Harden? Because I think the ability is there, but he's talking about the production not being there. So I think, too, most of the time, at least, those two go hand in hand. What's your take on James Harden and the fluctuation of production?
There's 100% there's mental stuff there. I mean, like that doesn't happen to a guy without there being a little bit of a confidence issue there in those 2 games. Now, some of that was brought on by what the Celtics did. Game one, they kept switching on him on the Al Horford, and he kept cooking Al Horford, which much to the delight of Sixers fans. And quickly, Joe Mazzulla realized that strategy is not going to work for the rest of the series. So he made a couple really good adjustments. One was putting Jaylen Brown on him, and two was not switching, making Jaylen Brown fight over the screen, which he's very good at. Jaylen Brown's a very long, athletic guy, very strong guy. He was able to do that through games 2 and 3, and it caused James problems. It just flat out. And then I think the confidence, to me, game 3 was more like game 2. You could almost throw out the window. It was a blowout. These things happen. I think it was 16 straight times now. The road team has won game 1 and then lost game 2. That's 16 straight times that's happened. So like, oof, some of that was inevitable. Like you felt it coming. So I kind of toss everything out the window in game 2, but game 3, I thought it was a couple of things. Look, I mean, the record doesn't lie when Scott Foster officiates games and James Harden is playing. It's a thing. So I'll say a couple of plays early where James maybe didn't get a call maybe he thought he should have gotten, saw Scott Foster there, that leaks into his head a little bit. A couple mid-range shots, which he was really so good in the mid-range in game one. Game three, he misses a couple of them, and I thought he kind of went into a shell. And that's not to make an excuse. You can't do that. You're James Harden. Like, you can't go into a shell. You're too good. These games are too important. You can't do that. But I give him credit for game four for coming out and attacking. And I give Doc Rivers credit, Mark. I know that's like a weird thing to say for people, but like, you have to give him an ounce of credit for making some adjustments, for making sure the Sixers do things like guard switches to make sure that Jaylen Brown is no longer covering James Harden, and just putting him in just more advantageous positions. I like the idea of Tyrese Maxey bringing the ball up the floor, especially if Jaylen Brown's going to hound James Harden full court pressure, bringing the ball up every time. That's going to take energy. It's going to take effort from James Harden. Just give it to Tyrese Maxey. Let him run the ball up. You're not going to full court press Tyrese Maxey because he's just too fast and he's too good of a ball handler. It's not going to happen. So you have him bring the ball up, gives James a break, starts the offense a little quicker, puts more pace in your offense. So I think all those things were contributors. Less turnovers was good. I think he only had one turnover, which is insane when you consider how much he handles the basketball, how much he scored, how much he facilitated on Sunday. To only have one turnover, that's pretty incredible. That also helps the Sixers on the defensive end kind of set their defense. I thought that too, like, he was just engaged. He had four steals, he had a block. He was more engaged on that end of the floor. He's not the best defender in the world, we all know that, but he has got really quick hands. He's got very good instincts, so he can make plays like that. So I just think he was, it's a confidence thing where he felt good early on the game, made a couple layups, made a couple mid-range shots. That got him going, and it was a positive snowball from there of him just continuing to play well.
Speaking with Paul Hudrick, of course, of Liberty Ballers. Also, check out the podcasts from Liberty Ballers as well with our friend Paul Hudrick. Follow him on all social media platforms as well. The gospel song. Let's get into that. First off, and Paul, you know I love you, man. We've known each other for a while. If you send me a song that's 8 minutes, I don't know when I'm going to get to it. Okay. I'm going to tell you this. If it's a couple minutes, if it's 3 minutes, I'll listen to it. But 8 minutes is like a text from a friend, eternity of time to listen to a clip. Okay. Essentially, if the way you and I, like, you got to see this clip of the post game thing. If I see it's over 3 minutes, I'm probably not listening to it. But he goes and he listens to the song. What did Doc mean by this song? What was your take on what Doc meant to do by sending James Harden the song? I believe it was called You Know My Name.
Yes, that is correct. Well, first of all, objectively hilarious to think about James Harden and his pals rolling up to the arena, blaring gospel music that Doc Rivers suggested. James Harden, who is like best friends with Lil Baby, and we all know enjoys a gentleman's club from time to time. This guy.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Rolling up to the arena, to the Wells Fargo Center, blasting gospel music. I'm sorry, but that's just objectively hilarious to me.
That is. And Lil Baby might be, I don't know if they're rolling together or not, but that's even funnier if they arrive together. I don't know.
I didn't even think about that, Mark, but oh my goodness. Yes. That would just add to it. Yes. He said his crew, he said his homies. So he did. It would make sense if Lil Baby was a part of that. But anyway, I think Doc's message was, you know, like, you know who I am. Like, I'm James Harden. Like, you are James Harden, and you are a 10-time All-Star. You are a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You were named one of the 75 greatest basketball players of all time. Like, you don't need to prove anything to anybody. Just be you and realize who you are. And I think when I talk about like a crisis of confidence, like, that's what I felt like in game three, where it's like, you can't like, that was my thought after I watched that game, was like, he is too good to play like this. He's too good to be kicking the ball out when he's got a pass to the basket. He's too good to not take shots. And like, I talked about the turnovers. He had 5 turnovers in game three, only 1 in game four. A missed shot is so much better than a turnover. especially in the playoffs, especially when you have PJ Tucker, who was a madman constantly patrolling the offensive glass. Like, a missed shot is the better play. And like, I get it. You're James Harden. Like, you don't want to, you know, you don't like Robert Williams blocking your shot or Al Horford blocking your shot. I get that, but he has to do it. And I think he kind of got out of his own head a little bit. The really cool stuff, I'm sure you saw with John Howell, the Michigan State shooting victim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pre-game. That was so cool. Such an awesome moment. And I do think that that's the kind of thing motivates James Harden. I think, you know, I think it just kind of put some stuff in perspective for him. Like, you know, this is a game. I need to have fun. I need to be me. And I think all of that, and I think that was the main message that Doc Rivers was trying to convey, was just be James Harden, because James Harden is a pretty great player with a pretty great track record. So just do that and you'll be fine.
The other thing that we got to talk about before we even get to Joel Embiid and what we can expect from him for the rest of this series, which is at least going to go two games now. PJ Tucker, this is why you got him. When you and I talked last about 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about PJ Tucker being that dog. We talked about the fact that he has won. We talked about the fact that the guy has a hell of a resume and he was brought here to put the Sixers over the edge and be that immense chip on the Sixers' shoulder and be that kind of devil in their ear. It literally almost played out in game four when he's standing next to Joel Embiid and saying, yeah, we can't have that. You got to be aggressive. You got to go for it. And Joel Embiid even saying that PJ Tucker got on him and he was able to find a little bit extra left in the tank for the later portion of the fourth quarter and overtime. How important and how much credit does a guy like PJ Tucker deserve for being a motor on this team?
I think you're a fan of the show, Ted Lasso. Have you watched Ted Lasso? No.
Absolutely. I am. Yeah.
Roy Kent and Jamie Tartt, man. That's what I get. Like, that vibe. When he's screaming in Joel Embiid's face, like, it's perfect. Like, it lines up so perfect. And couldn't you say, Mark, could you not imagine PJ Tucker, if someone asks him something or says something to him he doesn't like, just growling at them? Like, I can see that. I can see PJ Tucker just grunting at a guy that that someone that says something he doesn't care for. But And I think we talked about this when they signed him, when you had me on. I think we talked about it through the course of the year. You don't sign PJ Tucker to beat Charlotte in January. You sign PJ Tucker to win you playoff games against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. This is why this guy is here. Huge offensive rebound, gets that end one. And like you said, he's not even worried about, like, oh, I got to go hit this free throw. His first thought is, I have to go yell at Joel Embiid and tell him to be Joel Embiid. We're going to touch on the Joel Embiid stuff, but like, yeah, I mean, he is willing his team. And like, that's, you need that. They have lacked that. And Doc Rivers said that yesterday. I think it was Marcus Hayes from the Inquirer asked him, do you see a toughness difference from last year against Miami till now? Doc Rivers said, well, yeah, that Miami team had a guy named PJ Tucker on it. And now that guy, PJ Tucker, is on our team. That's the difference a guy like that makes. And there's been no player like this, right? During the entire Joel Embiid era, there has not been a player that has this kind of voice, that has this kind of impact, that has won a championship, that has this kind of, you know, cachet that he can walk around and talk to guys like that and get in guys' faces, and they all take it well. And I think that's a big thing too, Mark. Like, and like, I think PJ too has such a good read on guys. Like, he knows he can scream and curse at Paul Reed, and Paul Reed's just going to be like, okay. And he's going to take it and he's going to be better. You maybe don't want to do that with Tyrese Maxey, because that's not really maybe fitting his personality. And yeah, PJ knows that. He said that. So I think he's got the cachet. He's got the attitude. He's got the resume to do that. And I just think he knows what works, right? Like, he's just such a good communicator and knowing what works for certain guys. And I think that's so huge when you're talking about a team, when you're talking about a leader, and just that he knows what Joel Embiid needed to hear in that moment. And he did it.
No, to get on the Joel Embiid subject now, we haven't seen someone. Usually it's Joel Embiid calling out someone, whether controversially or not, in a press conference. Rarely do we see it on the court. I mean, the last person I really remember Joel Embiid even getting emotional with was TJ McConnell. You know what I mean? Like, it's that far back. But when you look at a guy like James Harden, he got in the ear of Tyrese Maxey. No one ever gets in the ear of Joel Embiid, and PJ Tucker has done that. When it comes to Joel Embiid, though, MVP of the league, scoring champion again, all that. do you see him getting better as this series? Because it seems like he has gotten better since that game two, his first game of the playoffs, but game two, he said he needed to knock off the rust. He needed to play that game before he could come back and get anything close to, forget about MVP level, even all-star level Joel Embiid. It seems like he is getting more and more comfortable. It's a matter of getting that conditioning back at the proper level. Maybe this game five, he's able to push a little harder. What are you expecting from Joel Embiid as this series go on? Continuously getting better, or do you think what we saw in game four is as good as it gets?
I think he's going to continue to get better because I think stamina is an issue because he didn't play for like almost 2 weeks. And when that happens, you know, and he's talked about this many times, like the reason why he hated being load managed so much is because he felt like when he didn't practice or he didn't play, that's when he was more prone to get out of shape. Now he's gotten better with it. And he said that too, like, you know, he's hired a world-class dietitian in recent years. He's learned how to keep himself in better shape, but nothing replicates the energy and the stamina required to play a playoff game. And they went to overtime too on top of it. I think he played what, like 46 minutes. I mean, that's a lot for a guy on a sprained LCL who hasn't really played a ton of basketball. So no, I expect him to get better because I think his wind's going to get better. I think he's going to get in better shape. And the knee seems to be trending upward. Like it seems to be healing. He seems to be in a better place than he was when he came back in game two. And like, you know, Al Horford, look, first of all, I don't think Al Horford has hurt Joel Embiid this much since 2019-20. But in all seriousness, Al Horford hasn't had anything for Joel Embiid in recent years. Like, really, he hasn't been able to defend him. And that's the combination of Joel getting better and Al, quite frankly, not being a spring chicken anymore. He's getting older. He's got a lot of mileage on those tires. He plays a physical brand of basketball. So like, it's going to take its toll. And I think, quite frankly, I think that's why, you know, the whole Al Horford elite shooting thing. And he made a joke with Boston reporters. Like, I think part of the reason he's not shooting as well is because he's got to run up and down the floor with Joel Embiid for 40 minutes a night. Imagine your legs, Mark, trying to hit a shot. Like, like that's a lot. So, and
Jello.
I say, Jello all this legs. To say, I think Joel Embiid getting blocked three times by Al Horford has a lot less to do with Al Horford than it does with Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid was tired. I just frankly think he was. And I think PJ was just trying to like fire up to be like, dig down, like dig deeper. Cause whatever you have, we need it for these last few minutes and for, you know, overtime, which occurred, like we need you for this. So, I do imagine he's going to get better because I think he's just going to get in better shape physically. I think he's going to be physically have more stamina. I think James Harden taking on a bigger role and scoring more, kind of like we talked about earlier, I think that's going to help him because that helps him kind of ease into the game. And I think everyone just overlooks his defense. He's been game changing defensively. And so I think if James Harden is able to score more, Joel Embiid is able to score a little less and give a little bit more effort on the defensive end. In the long run, that might actually help them out. So, you know, it's going to take the whole team because it just does. I mean, it's just, you don't win a playoff series because one guy was great, unless you're, you know, I don't know, the Toronto Raptors in 2020 or 2019, whatever that was. I don't remember what year it was. But I imagine he's going to keep getting better. And I think other guys are going to have to step up the two. You're going to need more from Tyrese Maxey. You're going to need more from Tobias Harris. Everyone's going to have to step up.
I agree with you on that. I'm going to ask you a question that Alex Holly asked me yesterday morning on Fox 29. I want to get your perspective. I'll tell you how I answered it, and I want to get your perspective on it. Basically, it was who was the better team? Actually, Mike Jarek asked that part of the question. The follow-up was from Alex Holly. Who's the better team? I said the Celtics are the better team. And Alex said, well, why do you have any semblance of confidence that the Sixers could win this? And I still think the Celtics win this series. But if I was gaining confidence, I'm at the highest point of gaining confidence, obviously, after game four. But I believe the Celtics to be the better team. I believe that the Celtics, and this is what I explained, I said, I think the Celtics can play good and win. The Sixers have to play great to win, meaning, of course, the margin for error is much smaller for the Sixers. Is that a fair assessment? Do you see it a similar way? How would you look at these two teams when you stack them up going into the final couple games of this series?
Yeah, it's certainly a fair assessment to say that to believe that the Celtics are a better team. I mean, they won 57 games this year. They were the number two seed. Right. They went to the finals last year with pretty much the same roster, except you could argue slightly improved with Malcolm Brogdon in the mix. So, yeah, I think all of that is fair. I think if you're the Sixers, I'll say a couple of things. One, I think it's a little bit more evenly matched than maybe some people believe. If the Celtics are better, I think they're like a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like, oh my God, this Celtics team is unbeatable. Like, it's not like, you know, 72 win Bulls or anything. Like,
right.
Good team. But the Sixers are a pretty damn good team too. I mean, they were the best team in the NBA from December on. So I will say, yeah, I give a slight edge to the Celtics, but I think they're pretty close. I think what the separator is, Mark, and I think if you're a Sixers fan looking for optimism.
I am. Just to be clear, I am.
Right. One, Joel Embiid is the best player on the court at all times. He just is. No matter how you break it down, he's the best player. Through four games, I mean, James Harden has been the best player on the court for two of them. And I don't see any, and I could be wrong, and it could happen because they're both great players. I don't see a scenario where Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown score 40 points against the Sixers, because I think the Sixers half court defense has matched up really well with the Celtics half court defense, where the Sixers have gotten into trouble. And we've heard this, you know, we played this song before. It's transition. And the Celtics are so good. I think, you know, it's been a really big talking point for the Sixers is they're so good scoring within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. So if your offense is running well and you're scoring, and you're getting good possessions, good shots, you're getting back and you're setting your defense up, you got a pretty good shot to slow the Celtics down. It's when you don't run good offense. It's when you allow them to turn the ball over, which they're very good at, by the way. They're a great defensive team. They do turn teams over. So when the Sixers as a team only have seven turnovers, it really hurts the Celtics because they can't get into that. They can't get into the you know, that fast break transition mode and find matchups they like, because it's not just about scoring in transition. It's about getting the Sixers when they're not set and finding favorable matchups. That's you know, kind of the bigger part of that. So again, if you're a Sixers fan looking for optimism, I'd say it's that you could argue, not definite. I mean, well, they clearly have, to me, the best player in the series. On some nights, they might have the second best player in the series. So that's where you draw your confidence from, is that the Sixers have two stars that have played like stars for the most part. Jaylen Brown, I think, has unequivocally been the Celtics' best player. He's been awesome through four games. If anything, I think they should be getting him more involved. Just my take on that matter. And Jason Tatum has been very inconsistent through four games. He was great the first half of game one. He was great the second half of game four. Other than that, he's been pretty up and down. So, and he struggled against the Sixers in the regular season. So I think that's where you need to draw your optimism from. And then also Tyrese Maxey, their third best player, quite frankly, hasn't been very good. So you got to expect at some point he's going to break free. He's going to have at least one big game.
No, I'm with you there. And you know what? If you and I are on the same lines of thinking, I think we are, as far as Joel Embiid goes, he continues to get better. I think he does have that game where you're looking at him as the guy that's carrying the Sixers, not like in game three, where it seemed like nobody else was out there on the court, but more along the lines of what we saw in their last matchup of the season. I know the Celtics were shorthanded in that, like they were through most of their matchups this season, but I still feel like there's that game where, yes, Maxey goes off and maybe Tobias Harris hits a couple more quick clutch threes that you weren't seeing coming. It really, that big game for Joel Embiid, where you're talking about that 40 to 50 point game that Joel Embiid could also have. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think the Sixers win at least one more game in this series, and I think we're going to end up going seven. Paul, confidence level in the Sixers. I'm not even going to ask you about just game five tonight, but just overall in the series, confidence level in the Sixers.
I think I 100% agree with you that these next two games are going to get split. How that happens, I don't know. I would assume Boston wins game five, Sixers win game six, and we're going out to Boston for game seven. And the thing is, game seven, that anything can happen in a game seven. And that's where, to me, Mark, your stars, if they play like stars, that's how you win a game seven. When somebody, whether it's James Harden scoring 40 points, whether it's Joel Embiid scoring 40 points, whether it's Tyrese Maxey digging deep and figuring it out and scoring, like, or, you know, for the Celtics perspective, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown going off and scoring 40 points. Like, that's what those game sevens, like, that's where you need that type of performance. So I'll say this. I don't know what's going to happen, because I think it does go seven. And when you get to game seven, it's a toss up. No one knows.
No, but we have known that the fate of game seven for far too long in Philadelphia.
but I'll say this, this team, they might win the series. They might lose the series. I don't think this is the same old Sixers team, because you know what? That same old Sixers team couldn't have won game one without Joel Embiid. And I don't think the same old Sixers team wins that game yesterday where they give up a big lead, have to come back to tie it and then win it in overtime. I don't think the Sixers of last year or years past can do that. So, and I guess that's another place where you can draw your optimism from, is that this team feels different. And, you know, maybe the Celtics are the better team, but the better team doesn't always win a seven game series. Sometimes if you can just put together four games where you're better than them, you win the series. So that's, I have confidence that they are going to win at least another game and push it to seven. That's where I'm at.
I'm at least with you there, my friend. I'm at least with you there. His name is Paul Hudrick. Catch him on Liberty Ballers, of course, all their great platforms, podcast as well. Read all his stuff, of course, on Liberty Ballers as well. Paul, always great catching up with you, brother. Thank you so much.
You got it, pal. Anytime.
The great Paul Hudrick joining us on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line from Liberty Ballers.
Next time on Hudrick, the Sixers make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I hope that's what happens. Love talking to Paulie. Always fun talking to my friend Paulie. I think a lot of us are in the same realm of like, no, they can't do that. They can't do this right. And it's weird about this Sixers team because usually I'm very optimistic. Usually I'm like, oh, no, they can pull this off. I can see them doing this. But it's like I've been hurt so many times. I feel like if I tell you at the end of this show, when I make my official prediction for tonight, if I tell you that and I say they're going to win, then you know what that means? That means I'm ready to get hurt again. That's what it means. I'm ready to get hurt again. And I don't want to be hurt again. But I might be prepping myself to get hurt again. And I'm looking at some of these comments. And you guys are looking like you want me to get hurt again. And you want to get hurt again. And we're all going to get hurt again. Anyway, that's Paul Hudrick, ladies and gentlemen. Check him out. All things Paul Hudrick on Liberty Ballers, obviously. Let me tell you right now, but my friends at Manscaped. Manscaped.com, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and their skin-safe technology that helps them manscape with confidence and comfort because it helps you reduce the risk of nicks. How about that? You'll love their Platinum Package 4.0, which includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, as well as their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And yes, they come with skin-safe technology. So check out Manscaped at Manscaped.com. Use promo code FARZY for 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. How about PHL Sports Station, Philadelphia Sports Station, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsStation.com. How about Freestone Farm CBD? At FreestoneFarmCBD.com, you'll love their tropical tasting Bay X that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1%, and Super CBD, which is half Hindu,
Kush,
and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. You'll love it. It's perfect for winding down after a workout. Not that I would know. I don't work out. And it's also perfect for winding down after a long day. Freestone Farm CBD at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Go to check them out. They're fantastic. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off. Let's get into the chat check, see how you beautiful people are doing today. Starting on the Farzy Show page, Jacob Media will make it over to you. Sean Kilrain, good morning. PJ's checking in with everybody. Good morning. I hate to say it, but I have absolutely no confidence that the Sixers will win tonight. And I hope and pray that I'm wrong. That is my life. No confidence. Last time they played in Boston, it was pretty ugly. Hideous, even. I'd use the word hideous. Sean Gillespie, good morning. Sean Gillespie tells A, I think every Sixers fan feels the same way. We're all on the same page there. Morning. DJ. What's up, DJ? I think we're making a lot out of nothing. It's his first day. I want to be like you. If it was his first day, it's his first day. How are you out of shape on your first day? If it's his first day, I want him to come in there, you know, ready to go. I know a lot of people talked about my endurance and my conditioning and whether or not I'm in shape. I feel great. This is going to be great. I'm going to be great. And like, I want the coach to kind of echo that same sentiment, not be like, well, everybody's fat. Like, I don't like that. It's a window, man. You show up on your first day of work. Imagine being, you know, how you're like late. Sometimes people are late on their first day of work. And you're like, well, this person doesn't give it, you know what? That's kind of how it makes me feel. And to not get that ringing endorsement and me not be the, like, if it was just me, like I listened to Nick Sirianni and went, well, that's weird. I don't like it. And then there's like three follow-up questions about Jalen Carter and his conditioning and whether or not he's ready.
And none of them are like, oh, yeah, man, I'm all in. He's great. No, that's not good. And after the pro day, I don't like it. Mally, what's up, Mally? Can we please get rid of Tobias? In due time. Sean Kilray, Jalen Carter has to want it. With his comment, I think he'll get it because BG and Kelsey won't have that slacking off of a player. All right. Other guys hold him accountable when they get in. Jalen Carter is going to get Hugh eating cheesesteaks and tasty cakes. Oh, really? Nice. Sean Kilray, too early to worry about rookie conditioning. Calm down, Farzi. I wish I could calm down. I'm not losing my mind. This is just the bad sign was pro day. Okay. Bad sign's pro day. Then he gets knocked down to 9 when some people thought he could go in, you know, the top 6. So he still goes in the top 10, which is good. And then he shows up and apparently it's still a thing. All right. I'm just saying is all. It's not my first good. It's not a good impression. Fuji Fiordimondo. What? Fuji? What up, Mark? What's up, peeps? Game 5. Let's go, Sixers. Let's go, Sixers. Fuji also. Clap your hands, everybody. I'll be clapping them tonight, I hope. Sean Gillespie, hopefully we can get Allen Iverson hearted for the rest of this series. That'd be awesome. Greatest pro wrestler in sports business, Paul Hide Your Wives Hudrick. Mally, I'll pass that along to him. Let me take a picture of that. Then I'm going to send it to my man, Paulie. Boop. All right. Sean Kilray, Tobias needs to be the player tonight, needs to be that player tonight, not player that goes missing on a milk carton. Let's hope. Mally, who's rocking the open neck better today, Paul or Mark? I went with the two buttons. This is a nice shirt, unlike the other shirts I wear. This is a nice shirt that actually stays close. Like, I got two buttons unbuttoned. I mean, if you guys want to party, we can party. All right, it's a family show. Let me tighten that up. There we go. Tobias, Sean Kilray. Tucker will be the enforcer tonight. Play the song. Let's hope we get that. It's funny with PJ Tucker. You say enforcer, and look, you got to go back, man. I was thinking about this yesterday. You got to go back to, like, and I hate even using these names in the same breath because obviously his talent was, I think, a bigger deal. But I think the mentality that he brought or these players brought definitely helped the cause. Pete Rose coming to the Phillies before they won in 1980. Pete Rose, hell of a ball player. But Pete Rose also, aside from just being really good, also was in the locker room telling Mike Schmidt how much other pitchers feared him, and that helped Mike Schmidt's psyche and confidence and kind of being a little self-aware of knowing that the pitcher was more afraid of you than you were of him. Moses Malone coming to the Sixers prior to the 82-83 season, what he brought to the table with this team was that kind of outside influence of, like, hey, this team can really, hey, and especially now that I'm here, this team can really do some damage. Now, Pete Rose and Moses Malone are Hall of Famers. PJ Tucker's not a Hall of Famer, and I like PJ Tucker a lot. So, like, it's kind of different when you talk about, well, yeah, those guys brought a great mindset, mentality, and leadership, but they were also Hall of Famers. Moses was the MVP, for crying out loud. That ain't PJ Tucker. But in terms of what an outsider like that has done a lot of winning elsewhere, what they do when they come here, I think carries a lot of weight. And I think PJ Tucker, at least for the mentality aspect, can be compared to those guys. Certainly not in what the more tangible and worthwhile thing is, which is the obvious production on the court or the field. The court in this case. Mihai Sanchez, morning, Mark, and everyone. We finally get a game where both Embiid and Harden go off. No pressure. Just seal another one in Boston. Believe the NBA is fixed, scripted for a Celtics-Lakers finals. Ooh, baby. Yes, that would go. That would make them lose their minds up at the corporate office. It absolutely would. And, hey, look, I'd be tuning into that as well, more so than I normally do. I'd actually have a rooting interest in that one. Like, what evil do I pick? I'd probably root for LeBron, because to hell with Boston.
Yeah, you heard me. You think you're better than me? Anyway. What's going on? April! Good morning, April. Mark should have worn the gray shirt today. Residual Mike? What's going on? Sixers and six? I love it. Ray, watching the end of game four, Embiid and Harden wanted the ball. Harris gave it away a couple times in the last couple minutes when he was wide open. Nobody else wanted the ball, but those two in crunch time. It's got to come down to Embiid and Harden. Ooh, Armando, the best team on the road is the Sixers, and Boston knows it. I hope so. Go Sixers. What's up, Go Sixers? Think he'll be fine. Morning, Farzi. Morning, Go Sixers. Sean, what's going on? Ew. Oh, no offense. Ew.
Hey, Sean, you want to do
it? All right, anyway. Sorry. Hey, I just hope PJ Tucker shoots the damn ball when he's wide open in the corner. I hope so, too. Thank you, everyone there on the Farzi Show chat. Let's get over to Jacob Media. Old man Philly, we are fine. Nick plays word games with the press. Okay, I hope you're right. Kevin Washington, we need Tobias Harris. We need to buy Tobias Harris out at the end of the season. Not a good fit. Certainly seems like it. King Pootie TV. Big game day. Thank you, King Pootie. What's the deal with Scott Forster and James Harden and CP3? I don't like them. I just don't like them. Calcita Moore. What's up, Calcita Moore? We are going to win game five and six. Let's hope so. I hope you're right, Calcita. I hope you're right. It all goes down tonight in Boston. Sixers, Celtics. Game five gets underway at 7:30 on TNT. Waiting with bated breath for that one, obviously. And then don't forget 6:40 start time tonight. Phillies and Blue Jays, they start a brief two-game series in South Philly tonight. Again, it is a 6:40 start time for the Phillies. On the Hill for the Phillies this evening for this two-game series starting things off is going to be Aaron Nola. He'll get the start against Alec Manoah, I believe is how you say his name. He's gotten banged up a little bit this year. 4.71 ERA. Aaron Nola, of course, coming off a how do we describe his last start? Lackluster, 6 1/3, four earned runs on seven hits, did give up a home run, five strikeout to the 10-6 loss to the LA Dodgers. But before that, he had the 8-inning, one run performance against the Houston Astros. So cross our fingers, that's the version we get today. As for his opponent tonight, Manoah going for the Blue Jays. He'll take the hill tonight with a 1-2 record on the season, that 4.71 ERA. He's coming off a start where he allowed just two earned runs, five runs total on eight hits in five innings against the Boston Red Sox. Prior to that, also two earned runs, two runs total, five innings against the Seattle Mariners. And before that, seven shutout innings against the New York Yankees. His real big blemish is against that team that's giving real big blemishes to everybody, the Tampa Bay Rays. He allowed seven runs on nine hits in a game back on April 16th. So we'll see how the Phillies do against him tonight. As I mentioned earlier, Flyers get the 7th overall pick in the NHL entry draft. So they lose out on the sweepstakes, unfortunately. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is The Farzi Show. Thanks, everybody, on the Jacob Media YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, on The Farzi Show YouTube channel. My man Jim Hyde approves the program. Did a wonderful job, as per usual. Official prediction for tonight, I can't help myself. I'm going to do it. I'm ready to get hurt again. Sixers win tonight. I'm going to see this game playing out as a 103-95 Sixers victory tonight. That's the way I see it going down tonight. Thanks for watching, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is The Farzi Show. Make sure you hit subscribe. And also for the people on the podcast, thanks for listening. See you guys tomorrow after hopefully a couple of wins here on the Philadelphia sports scene. See you.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.